You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today, Associate Pastor of Pastoral Care, Randy Green, will continue with our new series called God Never Said That, as we continue to uncover some misbeliefs that we hear in the church today. This time around, we'll be going over some key points concerning the misbelief of sin. Our scripture text comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 3. Today's message is entitled, It Doesn't Matter What You Do.
You know, we're living in a really tough world right now, and it's a frightening world in many ways. And so, this past week, 84 people were killed in Nice, France. 10 of them were children, never had the opportunity to grow up and to just mature to be an adult. There were over 265 people that lost their lives in Turkey because there was some kind of coup that was going on over there. And then there are just thousands and thousands of people that are hurting all the time, and people are just dying. And people say, Randy, what in the world are we going to do about this? What can we do? And the only thing that I know that's the answer to this whole mess is Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that's what we've got to do. We've just got to share our faith with people. You never know who you're sharing your faith with and what they're planning on doing. But if you share your faith with somebody and they come to Jesus, then you know they're not going to be blowing up people. You know they're not going to be running over people. They're going to be people that are also going to turn around and share their faith with the good news of Jesus. And so would you agree with me about that? So let's just do that and just do it everywhere we go. I want to pray for the folks over in France and Turkey. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you that you would be with those in France and in Turkey who lost loved ones, that you would stay close to them, that you'd help them at this time to just lean on you. I pray, Father, for those that you would help those who were injured to heal. And Father, that you said to pray for our enemies, and so we do. We pray that our enemies would come to know you as the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords, Father. I ask that you would help us to be bold and to share the good news of the gospel of God's grace with those that are around us because, Father, we realize that Satan has blinded the hearts of the unbelievers. And it's in Jesus' name we all pray and we say amen together. So that is it. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is the hope of the world, and that will is the only thing that is going to stop all this mess. Well, as you know, we're in a four-part message series called God Never Said That, and Pastors Joel Craig, Ryan Tucker, Harvey Carpenter, and I will be sharing these messages at all three of our campuses this month. This series, God Never Said That, is based on a series from Pastor Craig Groeschel. He's a pastor of the Life Church in Oklahoma City. Actually, that's where my oldest son, Andy, has been going to church for several years. Just love the guy. He's great. He has great messages and stuff. And so that's kind of where this was inspired from, this message series was from. Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at something very, very dangerous and very serious. And so, if I could, I need your participation. Will you participate?
Yes.
Okay, good. Pull out your wallets and no, I'm kidding. Okay, will you participate with me? Okay, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to get your pointer finger like this right here. Point straight at me. Straight at me, okay? And this is what I want you to say on the count of three. Pastor Randy is a sinner. One, two, three. Pastor Randy is a sinner. You got it. You're right. Amen. And guess what? If you got one finger pointing this way, you got three pointing back at you, right? Gotcha. All right. All right. Some of you guys were having too much fun back there. Actually, last night, Roddy, after service was over, Roddy just kept coming to me. He says, Randy, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. Well, you know I'm a sinner, and I'm sure most of you do too. But in our culture today, we could probably argue that the unpardonable sin, our cultural sin, is to point your finger at someone and say, what you're doing is wrong. That is unacceptable. You know, in our culture today, it's totally unacceptable to say that what somebody else does is sin, which leads us to the cultural misbelief, and I want to talk to you about it today, that you hear all the time. Maybe you've even said it and believe it, and it's this: it doesn't matter what you do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. That's a lie. God never said that. You know, it really doesn't matter what I do. It's none of your business. It doesn't concern you. It doesn't matter what you do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Okay? Listen, God never said that. You know, today I want to dive into the reality of what Scripture teaches us about our behavior. And oh yeah, I'm going to talk about behavior today. So just get ready. All right? I've been a parent for like 30-something years, 35, how old is Amber, 34, you know, and so we've been talking about behavior, you know, in our family for 34 years. But even before that, we have to understand that behavior has something to do with the way that we live. You know, in our point, you know, if you think back to the time when Jesus lived, what do you think was the biggest cultural value of that time? What was it in the Jewish culture that they really, really valued the most during his time? Probably, and I mean, you can make a pretty good case about this, that definitely in the top three would be justice, right? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You do something wrong, you deserve to get punished. I mean, you heard it all the time. So if I ask the same question today, what is the one of the biggest cultural values of our time today? Maybe one of the arguments might be for tolerance, right? I mean, just tolerance. I mean, pretty strong argument for that case. What's interesting about this is even the definition of tolerance in the last decade has changed. Tolerance used to mean that all people have equal value and that you tolerated their belief and behavior. In other words, we're going to value people. And so you just sort of tolerated their stuff. But today, tolerance has evolved to mean that all ideas and all behavior have equal value. Even the definition of tolerance has changed so much so that in our culture that it's wrong and unacceptable to ever say that someone's behavior is wrong. That is sinful. That's just, you get that. In fact, culturally, we watered down and sanitized even what we otherwise would be sinful terms and have given them more acceptable terms to help people feel better. For instance, let's just take sexual sin, okay? Instead of looking at pornography, people say, oh yes, I'm just looking at adult entertainment. We're not going to say somebody committed adultery. My goodness, that would be too harsh. Well, they just had an affair. We're not going to call having sex between two unmarried people fornication or premarital sex. We're going to just say, oh, they're just fooling around. You know, everybody fools around. We've taken the lifestyle of homosexuality pretty much out of our vocabulary, and now we call it a gay lifestyle. And boy, people get up in arms when you say, shouldn't be that way. Listen, we've taken what was once wrong and we've even changed the way that we describe it, because in our culture today, the unpardonable sin is almost, hey, don't ever tell anybody something's wrong. And besides, it's none of your business anyway. What I'm doing, I can just do whatever I want to do as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. Listen, God never said that. Everybody say that. God never said that. He never said you can just do what you want to do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. God wants you to be holy, and he wants you to be what he wants you to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, the scripture says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So just to be clear, God never said that I can do whatever I want as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. It's not in the scripture. You'll not find it between the covers of this book right here. Now, what we need to recognize is that sin is very real, and sin has dramatic earthly consequences and potentially damning eternal consequences. Today, that's what I want to talk about, three cultural misbeliefs about sin. And so let's look at what God really says about it. Okay, you ready? Ready?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So if you're taking notes, here's the first point. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. You're not a bad person. We're not a bad people. I mean, I'm not a bad person. Well, you know, I might mess up every now and then or something like that, you know, but I'm a good person. I really am. Well, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, let's look at that. It says, if we claim to be without sin, in other words, if we say we're not a bad person, what do we do? Let's all say it together. We what? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, okay? He says, are you kidding me? No. He says, if we compare ourselves to other people, we may be tempted to say, well, I'm not really as bad as that person sitting next to me, you know, or maybe the person in front of me or behind me. But, you know, he says, we deceive ourselves. Listen, other people are not the standard by which we are compared. You know, we can always find somebody better than us and worse than us, okay? But our standard by which we are compared is Jesus Christ, amen? You know, and so we compare ourselves to a holy and a perfect God. We're a horrible, filthy sinners, man. I mean, we're all bad people. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a bad person. I mean, I've sinned, you know, I've really messed up. Yeah, I mean, I can prove it to you. It's really easy to do. You know the Big Ten, right? You know, the Ten Commandments and stuff. I mean, you just think through there. It says, you know, do not lie. So how many of you in here has ever told a lie? Just raise your hand. Okay, now y'all look around the ones who don't have their hands up and say, lie, liar, pants on fire. Okay, all right, so... Well, okay, so we've all lied in here. Anybody ever here ever stolen anything? Just raise your hand. Okay, so we got some honest people in here telling us that I stole something. You know, he says, "Do not steal." You know, anybody ever here ever like lusted after someone? You know, and you go, "Oh my goodness, I'm sitting by my wife." Maybe when I was 14 or 15 or something, but lusted after someone. Oh, no hands. Wow. I'm the only poor guy. Okay, all right. So Sandra's going to shoot me. But anyway, let's just go unpack this just a little bit. So if you've told a lie to somebody, then you are what? You are a what? You're a liar. Okay, if you've stolen something, then you're a what? You're a thief. And so if you've looked lustfully at someone, and Jesus actually said, he said, if you look lustfully at someone, then you've actually committed adultery with her in your heart or with them in their heart. And so you are in a what? An adulterer. Okay, so what are you guys? You're a bunch of lying, thieving adulterers. Okay, welcome to Journey Christian Church, where we come to make you feel good about yourself. But see, we're all in this thing together, okay? Now, sin is something that we want to stay as far away from as we can. But the thing is this, that we have all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Let's look, I mean, you know, we're not good people, okay? We're just not. And the only way that we are good is through Jesus Christ, amen? So in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, there is no one righteous, not even one. You're not and I'm not. No one righteous. Only through Jesus Christ can we be righteous. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, he says, all, everybody say all. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And so we have messed up. We're all in the same boat. So just think about it. If you only sin once a day, you know, like if you were unkind or selfish or prideful or unloving, or you saw something that you're supposed to do and you didn't do it, or you had a lustful or inappropriate thought, or you coveted, you were greedy, you lost your temper, you stole something, you cursed, you had a fit of rage, you got mad, you shot somebody the finger, you got drunk, or you had selfish ambition, or were jealous, or you were more, or you were whatever, fill in the blank, okay? Just one sin a day, okay, is 365 sins a year. Simple math, 10 years is what? 3,000, come on, y'all help me. 3,650 sins, all right? Okay, I'm 60, okay? 60 years old. And if I just sin one time a day in my whole lifetime, that's 21,900 sins. And the thought that I'm not a bad person? I mean, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, if you saw a criminal with 21,900 counts of criminal activity on his rap sheet, you would say, put that guy away. Throw him under the jailhouse. Throw away the key. So we come to grips with the fact of saying, I'm not a bad person is simply not true. Amen? Okay, so let's go to the second point. The second point is this. The second cultural misbelief about sin is this, and it's very dangerous. And we've either said it or have heard it. All sin is the same. All sin is the same. I mean, God never said that. All sin is, you hear it all the time. Who are you to judge me? What I'm doing is no worse than what you're doing. Well, all sin is the same. God never said that. He never said that. What we need to understand, and please hear me clearly, the Bible doesn't teach that all sin is the same. Now, don't miss this, okay? All unforgiven sin does lead to eternal death, okay? Period. Got it? All what? Unforgiven sin leads to death. It leads to eternal death, period. But not all sin is the same. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what are the wages of sin? It's death. It's a spiritual death. It's death. Any type of sin, little sin, big sin, whatever kind, any type of unforgiven sin leads to death. But here comes the good news. Always there's bad news and there's what? Good news. And so the good news is, but the good news is this, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we wrestle with this sin thing, but I also have a God who has saved me by his grace, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So know this, all unforgiven sin does lead us to eternal death, but all sin is not the same. Everybody say, all sin is not the same.
All sin is not the same.
Okay, for instance, Sandra... I mean, I was going down the road a couple of months ago in my truck. I have a F-250 Ford pickup truck that just that you know it's a big truck, and so you just sort of own the road, you know, when you're driving down the road. No, not really, but you do. I mean. So I'm driving down the road. I'm coming off of I-4 Maitland Boulevard. You know how it's kind of you have to sort of get in there, and so I got in there. Okay. I sort of squeezed my way in between this little car and this big truck coming, and I thought I had plenty of room to get in there without him hitting me, and evidently I did because he did not hit me, okay? But he thought that I was being rude or something, so he just starts honking on his horn. It wasn't this little like this. I mean, it's like a honking horn. Boom. I mean, and not just for that long. I mean, I'm talking 45 seconds or a minute. I'm on the telephone talking with Sandra, and Sandra goes, my wife Sandra, and she says, what is that? I said, it's some jerk behind me honking the horn, you know? And she goes, Randy, you ought not talk like that. She's sort of like the Holy Spirit in my life. She, you know, she keeps me going, but she says, what is he doing? I said, he's right on my bumper, and he's just blowing the horn. She said, well, you must have done something wrong, or he wouldn't be doing it. I said, I didn't do nothing wrong. I was just minding my own business, driving down the road, you know, and the guy is still on the horn while I'm talking this long, like that. And finally, he whips off to the side of the road there and gets on the other lane, gets right next to me, looks down at me, and he waves at me the way that you wave that you don't like to be waved at. Like, I do not like you. You know, and it just burned me up. And I said, he's shooting me the finger. And Sandra says, Randy, you know, don't let your blood pressure go up. And so I waved back. But I didn't shoot him the finger. Okay? I just did like that. Okay? Everything on the inside of me. Okay. So he goes around, and then he whips right in front of me and just almost takes off the front of my truck, but he doesn't do it. Okay? Now, he shot me the finger. That is a sin. Amen? So would I get an amen? Okay. Come on. Y'all help me out. You know shooting a bird at somebody is not right. Okay? So he shot me the finger. And so if he had shot me, now here's the point. Let's don't lose it. If he had shot me, he shot me with the finger, and that is a sin. But if he had shot me with a gun, that's a different type of sin. Okay, both will keep you out of heaven if they're not forgiven. But both are not equal in terms of consequences. He shoots me with a gun, he goes to jail, and I get to go to heaven if he's a good shot. All sin is not the same. All unforgiven sin separates you from God, but all sin is not the same. In fact, if you're taking notes, we need to recognize that how we live influences at least three things. First of all, how we live influences the consequences on earth. Listen, if you're a good guy or a good woman, and you act right and you do right, and if you're a blessing to other people, people are just going to like you. They just absolutely will. Most people will like you. Most people will think that you're a blessing to their life. If you're a ray of sunshine in their life, then they're just going to kind of like you. And they'll, you know, like you on Facebook or whatever. I don't know. You know, if you're a servant, you know, to help people, they'll help you. But if you're a sinful, disobedient person, and you're just rude and you're ugly and you break the law, then there are consequences on this earth that are not the same. For instance, if you're one of our pastors and you're running late on Monday morning trying to get to staff meeting and you get a ticket because you're running late, and so normally when you run late, you run fast on the road, okay? And so if you're running down the road and you get a ticket, then, you know, Pastor John might say, "Hey, Randy, why are you late?" That's why I was, I got stopped, got a speeding ticket. I said, "Man, you need to slow down." All right, but if I go out and lie or cheat or steal, or if I go with my small group and we just go out and just smoke dope and get drunk and stuff like that, Pastor John would be just like Donald Trump. He'd say, "You're fired." Okay, there's a different thing here. You know, your different earthly consequences to our behaviors. Do we agree? Okay, yeah, sure. Okay. So there's also different consequences in heaven about how we live influences rewards in heaven. Okay, you see, we have to recognize that God rewards certain things in heaven as an eternal reward. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, it's a cool scripture. It says, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Okay, and so that's kind of cool. I don't know what the rewards are going to be in heaven. You know, he didn't really say it a whole bunch, but I know one of the rewards I believe that's going to be a real cool reward is the people that you brought to the Lord or that you shared your faith with in the Lord. And when you see them up there, that's going to be reward enough that, oh my goodness, what an awesome thing that's there. And the third thing that scripture heavily implies is that how we live influences our punishment. And it causes us in hell. He says, listen, in Luke chapter 20, verse 47, the Pharisees devour widows' houses. In other words, they're taking advantage of those whom the church is called to serve and to love and to help. And the Pharisees devour widows' houses, and for a show, they make lengthy prayers. Oh, Lord God. God evidently hates that type of hypocrisy. And scripture says that these men will be punished what? Come on, everybody say it loud. Most severely. Okay, in other words, this implies there might be a less severe punishment for some people in actions. There might be a more severe punishment for others. Okay? And so also in John chapter 19, verse 11, with Pontius Pilate, he said, "Listen, therefore the one who handed me over to you is guilty of what? Of a what? A greater sin." Okay, so all sin is bad, but not all sin is the same. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 18, he says, "Run from it. Run from sexual sin." Why? He says, because no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. In other words, there are different consequences to this sin than there would be to other ones. He says, "For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body." And it's just begging you to realize that your body was purchased by the shed blood of Jesus to flee sexual sin. And that's the reason we can run from sin. He says, run. All the other sins, he says, fight, resist, but not this one. Don't even try to fight it. Run, he says, run. Run, Forrest, run. Get out of there. Because this one impacts you in a very, very deep, personal, and significant way. You know, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anyone. God never said that. how we live and what we do. It matters on earth. It also matters in eternity. Misperception number two, I'm not a bad person. Misperception number one, I'm not a bad person. And let's just all say it. Yes, I am. Yes, you are. I'm a bad person. You're a bad person. We're sinful in the eyes of a holy God. Okay, without Jesus Christ. Misperception number two is that all sin is the same. Actually, it's not the same. All unforgiven sin does separate us from God in eternal consequences, but there are certain sins on this earth that have bigger impact on us. Third, the third big cultural lie is this, that people believe, well, since I've already done it, I might as well keep on doing it. It's almost like being on a diet, you know. Well, since I've already eaten the cake, I might as well eat a piece of cake, might as well eat the whole thing. No, that's not true. Since I've already done it, I might as well keep on doing it. You know, the list of this can fall into a really be long. You know, the teenager or the young adult. Well, since I've already, I'm not a virgin anymore, so I might as well keep on doing it. I've done drugs, so I might as well just keep on doing it. I've started getting drunk and everything. I might as well just keep on. I cheated. I didn't get caught, so why not? Just keep on doing it. It worked out pretty good for me. I looked at pornography, and I was able to cover my tracks and stuff, and it kind of felt good, and so might as well just keep on doing it. I lied. I got away with it, and I might as well do it again. I stole, and it was pretty good buying that stuff or getting that stuff without anything, and so I stole. I might as well just keep on doing it. Evidently, a couple of thousand years ago, Paul had that problem. People were saying, well, you know, if we got all this grace that saves us, we might as well just keep on sinning. But he said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, what's he says? What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so grace will increase? He says, what? By no means. We have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Listen, in other words, if God is going to forgive us anyway, why should we even stop? And he said, look, what do you mean? Don't keep on sinning. He said, you're better than that. You know better than that. You know? He says, of course not. We don't continue to sin so grace increases. We have died. Everybody say died. We're dead to sin, okay? So we've died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Our sin nature no longer has the power over us when in Jesus Christ. And people, just listen, it doesn't have the power. We make choices. Now, why would we continue to go back into that which is hurts the heart of God, hurts our own lives, and has the potential to hurt so many people around us? Listen, he says, shall we keep on sinning so grace will increase? No. You know better than that, he says. He says, listen, God has something much better for you. And that's called spiritual maturity. It's called walking in the grace of God. It's called walking in Jesus Christ. Spiritual maturity is not about how much we know. It's about who we know. Jesus is Lord, our Savior. Amen. Following and living in his grace and walking that way. Spiritual maturity is not just knowing about Jesus, but we reflect our relationship by the way that we live. Spiritual maturity isn't just having more knowledge, but it's having more fruit. You can know this whole Bible. You can have it all memorized and everything. But I'm telling you the truth, if you don't obey it and you don't live it, it's no good in your life. Spiritual maturity isn't just learning more of the original language and getting really smart and stuff. It's spiritual maturity is letting the Holy Spirit take over your life and live through you. Spiritual maturity is living in such a way that people can see Jesus in you. You know, when people can just see you and they just, you probably all had this happen to you at one time or another. People look at you because you're living for Christ and people say, there's something different about you. You're marching to a different drummer's beat of some sort. And so what is it? And I love to tell them. Well, I'm a little crazy, but man, Heidi, I sure do love Jesus. And that's the reason I am how I am, you know. And so there you go. Spiritual maturity is not just knowledge. It's being transformed by the grace of God. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, listen to scripture. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That would be who? Jesus, okay? Jesus, all right? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, okay? So this grace through Jesus Christ, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Isn't that cool? That's what God's grace does. It equips us, helps us to say no to sin, and helps us and equips us to do things that are great for God. Spiritual maturity and the grace of God produces a life that is full of the fruit of the Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit live through you. You know, just listen. Hey, every day, just say, Spirit of God, just help me live for Jesus. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
And he goes, okay, I help you, because he is a helper, and he helps us. Spiritual maturity is more fruits, letting the Holy Spirit reign and rule through you. The problem is most Christians in our culture today, now get this, are educated way beyond their level of obedience. Isn't that true? I mean, really, just think about it. Pastor John stands up here all the time, and he gives us great lessons and great messages, sermons about how we should live and different things. And man, we just don't always do it, do we? Do like this. No, we don't always do it. Everybody shake your head. No, Randy, we don't. Y'all help me out. No, I don't. We don't. There's too many of you coming to my office. I know that we don't. Okay? And so listen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, only let us live up to what we've already attained. Wouldn't that be cool if we could just live the way that you already know you ought to live? Okay? And you can through Jesus Christ. You can through his grace. Now look, sin is tough. You know, most of us don't need to know more. We just need to know how to apply what we already know. And that's just walking in Jesus Christ every day. That's a moment-by-moment decisions of doing things the way Christ wants you to do it, thinking the way Christ wants you to think, having a real good and quick repenter, you know? You know what I mean, repenter? That just inside that says, you know, that's wrong, and so I'm fixing to change it. The other day, I was telling you about my truck. My truck tore up. My son was using it and up in Texas. And it's a $7,000 bill. I'm like, oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding me. You know, and I'm about having a stroke, okay? I'm 60. Did I tell y'all that? Okay, I'm about to have a stroke, you know? And so I'm talking to these guys up there, I gotta get fixed. And so working on that. And so then that evening, or a couple of days later, I'm still hadn't really got back from that, you know, and I'm trying, how am I going to do this? And then all of a sudden, Carrie, my 20-year-old, she's over visiting her boyfriend, Tim Ayers, who plays the lead guitar. Doesn't he do a good job? Anyway, she's visiting him. Her car tears up. And it's in the middle of a rainstorm. And she calls, Daddy, my car's tore up. I'm like, what? You know, she said, my car's tore up. And I said, okay, well, what's it wrong? She told me, and it was a starter and everything. And so I said, okay, well, I'll be over there in just a little bit. I'll check it out. And he lives a long ways from here. He's like 45 minutes or so. And so I'm driving down the road. I'm talking to Sandra on the telephone. Again, I mean, like I told you, she's sort of like the Holy Spirit that keeps me in line on things. And she says, well, Randy, you just need to pray about it. And I know that's what I needed to do, okay? Listen, hey, I know. I'm preaching. I know. And I told her my heart, I just don't feel like praying about it. I'm just being honest. I just don't feel like praying about it, hon. And she says, well, you need to. And I go, oh, you know, you're right. Okay, I know. I said, you know, and so I struggled with it just for a second. I said, okay, I'll do that. And my son Andy was with me, and we prayed about it and everything. But I'm just saying that all of us, there are things that goes on into our life, and we just get aggravated and mad, and we say, I just do it myself, you know, and everything. And so we prayed about it, and praise God, the starter is fixed. It got fixed yesterday afternoon, about 105 degrees. But praise God, it wasn't me fixing it. It was my son-in-law, Paul. And so... Listen, sin is a tough time. sin has its consequences. You know, the most miserable people in the world are Christians who know the freedom that is available to them and who know the standard and intentionally disobey God. So don't live that way. Listen, if you're not aware of sin, chances are that that's a sign that spiritual immaturity, because of the closer I get to Jesus, the more I see that's wrong there, that I need to change. And that's what I'm saying, is we just need to have a quick repenter. We need to change in a hurry. You know, I serve God because I love him. It's not because I don't want to do. I serve him because I love him. I don't want to do things bad, because I don't want to displease him. I don't want to do anything dishonorable to my wife or my children. I don't want to do anything to hurt the name of Christ. I don't want to do anything to let people down or to doubt. And yet, because of my bent towards sin, I mean, I've been standing up here telling you the stuff that's going on in my life. I mean, it's just the regular things that happen in our lives. And so Satan is always there pounding on us, and we have got to have the confidence in Jesus Christ that he'll help us get out of everything. His spirit I have dwelling within me is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. And therefore, what is in me is more powerful than the pull towards the world. Greater is he that is in you than the one who is in the world. Listen, sin is tough. Sin is progressive. Listen to this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Got it? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is a tough, tough thing. So some of you right now, you're going to say, well, it's not that big a deal. Hey, it is a big deal. The moment you think it's not, I want to tell you, it's a big deal, because it's costing you. And you say, well, Randy, how's it costing me? I'm already a Christian. You know, so the majority of us in here are Christians, okay? The majority of us have already named the name of Jesus Christ. We've already confessed Jesus as Lord, and we've already been baptized into Christ. And so we're walking in his grace. The majority of us are that way, okay? And we've realized that we're a sinner, okay? But listen, when we continue walking in sin, just staying with it and staying with it, we lose intimacy with God. We lose intimacy. That's what it costs you. That's what it costs you, intimacy with God. Now listen, I just want to tell you, when your heart starts to harden and suddenly the distance between hearing from God and the distance between sinning and repenting grows, listen, you're going to mess up, but you're going to see spiritual maturity. There's a short distance between, oh, I sinned, and, oh, I repented. There's a short distance there. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Please, I want you to understand, it doesn't matter what sin you're trapped in. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. It doesn't matter if you think that you could never, ever, ever overcome it. God always gives you a way out. He always gives you a way out, and there's always a way out. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, okay? He is the way out. Jesus is the way out, amen? Now listen, some of you need to recognize that you're trapped in it, so what do? You step out of your sin, and you step into Jesus. That's how I say it. We step out of our sin, and we step into Jesus. You step into his grace and out of the bondage of sin. You step into his power and out of the snares of sin. You step into the love. You step into the power and the transforming goodness of Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus. And when you do this, you step out, because there's always a way out, because he promised us. There's always a way out. And I'm talking to somebody here right now. I promise you that you've been saying, I don't think there's a way out of this thing. And there is. There is. Listen, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The reality, sin does cost us, but Jesus is bigger than our sin. He really is. You know, we looked at this verse earlier in 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us. And what will he do? He will purify us from all unrighteousness. See, I stand before you as someone who sins. But I also stand before you as someone who is righteous. And the reason I am righteous is not because I am so good. The reason I am righteous is because he is so good. And that is the key. Now listen, know this. The sin is the greatest intimacy, the greatest enemy to the intimacy with God. And Jesus is the best friend of sinners. So when culture says you, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anybody, recognize that is a lie from the pit of hell, and it's not true. Amen? So we run to Jesus. He's the friend of sinners who came to set the captives free. I'd like for everybody to just stand. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to have the opportunity, if you want to come down and just receive prayers, or if you want to come and be baptized into Christ, today would be a good day to do it. Father, I pray that by your power and your Holy Spirit will speak to your church. And God, I thank you in advance today that there are those who maybe for months or even years have been trapped. And God, I thank you that you're faithful, that you always give us a way out. And Father, I thank you in advance for those who are just getting closer to Jesus, and that you're revealing the impurities in our life. And God, by your power, you're conforming us to the image of Jesus. Father, please let your Holy Spirit come in. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us. Father, for those of all us who are followers of Jesus, let us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Father, let us not live in condemnation, but to live in your Spirit. Lord, we obey not to win your love, but out of reflection of your love and grace and mercy. Lord, the closer I get to you and your Son Jesus, the more I recognize my sinfulness. And Father, we're all trapped in a body of sin. There is power and there is grace through Jesus. I want to find my way out, Father, through your Son, Jesus. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will set people free today. God, I thank you that your love is not based on our performance, but your love is based on your goodness, the goodness of your Son. Your love is no matter what. Your love never fails, Father. It never gives up, and it never runs out on me. God, you love us so much that you don't want us to be trapped. And that which hurts us breaks your heart, or it has the potential to hurt other people. God, we thank you that you are faithful and that you always give us a way out. Father, I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, that the power of sin will be broken, that we will not continue in it, because, Father, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And God, we thank you because of the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, we are free. The power of sin does not hold us back, Father, but the power of the Spirit leads us through the life and the righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. It doesn't matter what you do, with Associate Pastor of Pastoral Care, Randy Green. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-88-GRACE. 884-7223.